All right, if you're listening to the stream right now, we're going to do a test show with my friend Omar. We're going to see how he does. He wanted to go live, so we're going to go live, despite the fact that I just wanted to do it live to tape, but we're going to try it live anyway. So we're going to do 1 hour. We're going to do about a half an hour. We're going to do a 30-minute show straight through and see how he does. So we're rolling tape, and we're live. So if you're listening to this too, he wants to hear your feedback. And if you'd like to give us instant feedback, you can go ahead and do that. The phone number is 626-387-3773, and we'll be able to read those texts right away. Okay? All right. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, it's Chris and Tura Show. We're doing a test show tonight, so if you're listening to the stream, just bear with us. I have a co-host here we're trying out, see how he does, and yeah, introduce yourself. Your mic is on. Go ahead.
Hey now.
All right, that's Omar. Omar, now you...
yes, sir.
Where did we meet? We met at school, right?
Yes, we met in photography class, like 6 months ago?
Yeah. God, yeah, only 6 months ago. Again, you're too familiar to me.
Yeah.
And sitting to his right, we have his friend. If you'd like to say anything, he's on. Make sure you speak right into the mic because they're super, you got it right. Well,
this is Mac Yest, a friend of Omar's, high school buddies 5 years ago.
Perfect. Wow, look, he's like a pro. He spoke right into the mic. All right, so Omar is interested in talk radio, and so we're going to do this tonight. We don't usually do Tuesday night shows, but hey, you know, if you're listening, that'd be great. Give us a text. Again, the number is 626. Write this down. Ready?
626-387-3773.
Right.
626-387-3773.
Yeah, I should write that down somewhere really big so you can see it. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Let me do that. I'm going to get up for a second. And
I'm going to draw it on the inside of your eyelid.
Yeah, so you can never forget it.
Yeah.
Let me just walk right over here and draw. I should draw. Yeah, do it really big over here. So here we go. Because this number is something that you should be saying over and over again if you really want people to be texting or calling. We can do calls too, but we're not going to do that tonight. So if you call, we're going to ignore you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, seriously, I will. Just ignore it.
Wow.
So Omar, why are you into talk radio? What has got you, what do you got interested in talk radio?
Two words, one name. Looks like Axl Rose through a pair of sunglasses. It's Howard Stern.
Okay.
I heard one interview, I don't know how, and since then I've gone on a manhunt to see every interview he's ever done with everybody. It's just, you get to know the real soul of a person. It's not the cliche cookie cutter shit like with Seacrest or any of those people, you know? Mm-hmm. So I like connecting with people on a real level.
Yeah, he's an awesome interviewer.
Thank you.
He is. you're not yet. I don't know how you interview yet. We're going to find out.
I'm terrible.
I'm terrible too, so don't worry about it. It's a learning experience. All right. High five.
High five.
I am not like, how can I put this? Howard Stern. I like Howard Stern, but he goes a little overboard for me. Mm-hmm. But he's a great interviewer. He's great. And he's a great person to interview, too. He has a very good personality when it comes to interviewing. So
I think that over-the-topness is part of it. Because when you're with somebody over-the-top, somebody who's giving a 10, you're a little more comfortable giving an 8 instead of a 6. Because you're like, oh, well, they're so mad that I could be a little more. And that, I think that builds a comfort that no matter what, you're never saying more than the interviewer. Do you get what I mean?
I get what you mean.
So I think that, yeah. At first, that's how I thought, too. I was like, oh, my God, he's asking them about their personal life. But then it's like, we all wonder that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We all ask our friends that.
Sure,
so, you know, so why wait? Why have that illusion of, I don't have that familiarity with them? Just barge right on through. Life is short.
All right, good. Now, another interest of yours, and I didn't know about this, so I'd like to hear a little bit about this, is acting. I didn't know about that. So you go on auditions, and you also go to an acting class or something.
Yeah,
what is this about?
Well, I go to auditions. I never booked them. I don't feel like it.
You have an agent yet?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I don't have any representation. I've done 2 commercials. I've done a few short films. But I have an audition Wednesday for a show, okay. Like for a pilot show. So I'm reading. I'm doing like a table read, and then.
So this is a scripted show?
This is a scripted show.
Is it, what is it, like a drama sitcom or something?
I don't know. It's a sitcom, but I don't know what station or what the pilot's for. I just know that on Thursday I have to do a table read. So it's a table read audition. You just read the script with a bunch of people and then narrow it down. So if you get it, I could be a recurring character if it gets picked up. So there's all these if layers. But I got a shot at the table, so I'm happy about that.
All right. Well, I'd like to hear more about that when you come back from that. I mean, I know sometimes you can't talk about stuff like that, but maybe you could, huh? Just a little bit.
Well, yeah, if I get a little more familiar, comfortable, you know, maybe.
That's cool. What's the...
Dine me first.
What is... what's your... what's like the oddest, I guess, interview you've ever been on? Anything that's like struck you as just like,
yeah,
what the hell am I doing here?
A date, yeah. A lot of dates have struck me that way, man. I mean, you want me to be real, I'll be real with you. Or a job interview. One time the interviewer is for the City of Walnut. The interviewer asked me, he was like, if there was a theme song to your life, you know, what would be the intro theme song and what would be the outro?
Uh-huh. And what did you say? What did you say?
I had just... Well, at the time I was involved in narcotic activities that I should have been involved with.
Okay.
And so I was watching Blow a Lot with Johnny Depp, and there's a song in the movie where he like exchanges like 15 kilos of coke, and there's a song that goes, "Oh, Black Betty, bam, bam." I said, "Oh, Black Betty, bam, bam." It's just about being a badass. Mm-hmm. So I said that song because I thought I was in a Rolling Stone interview, not a job interview.
Yeah. And what was your closer?
I think once I said that, it pretty much closed.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah. Anything, yeah. Yeah, I would have thought so too. Yeah. But you've since changed your ways, and you've been sober how long? Can I say that?
Yeah, it's fine. Tony Robbins, the guy I look up to, he told me, don't count, because you're only counting how long you've lasted. So I don't know. I just know that's not a part of my life.
Okay, anymore. Yeah. And I can attest to the fact that I know you're serious about that, because we've had the conversation before.
Yeah.
Or else he wouldn't be in the studio.
Yes. So. Yes. Or I would be in the studio a little.
A
little more inebriated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it would be obvious to me, and then I'd probably shut down this show too if that was the case. So I know.
Jesus Christ. You know. So, yeah. Would you close the exit sign?
I would turn the exit sign off to freak you out. Yeah. Well, let's not forget about your friend here. So you guys went to high school together.
Went to high school together. Yes. Matt, why don't you tell him a little bit about how we met?
Well, I was a part of the drama department. Omar just kind of picked up on my acting. He's just like, "Hey, man, I really like you. You're really cool. We should get to know each other." So we've just been kind of friends on and off for the past 5 years or so.
Mostly off, though. Don't worry.
Yeah, mostly off. It's one of those situations where I just randomly get a text from Omar saying, "Hey, come on, let's hang out. Let's talk about something philosophical." That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. He did sell me on you being here tonight as somebody who's a great conversationalist.
Whoa. Okay. That's saying too much.
Real deep.
Superb. His only problem is that he's humble.
Just
only problem is humility. That's the one thing we've got to work on with him.
Well, it's like when you say that someone's humble, you know, it's like it's something, it's a genuineness about it. And I mean, I guess I just try coming from, you know, a very like humble household and just kind of like, you know, talk to friends about it, that kind of thing.
Okay. You're the actor here. You're trying to be an actor.
Yeah, I'm trying to follow in his footsteps.
Have you guys ever done anything together?
We've done read-throughs together. Like I would perform some of my pieces to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's actually part of the forensics team, so they do like different speeches or monologues or you know, they have different performances traveling, and he's been to like China, he's some pretty gnarly
I went to China last summer for the Xi'an International Debate Tournament.
Was that through college or high school?
That was through APU, Azusa Pacific University.
Oh, okay, I had a friend who went there. That's cool. Yeah. All right, nice. That's good. Well, I'd like to see if you guys could come in and bring like a script. I want to see you act it out. That'd be kind of fun. I think that'd be really good for audio, to be honest with you. Maybe put some sound effects to it, make it like a movie or something.
Unless you tuned in the middle of the scene, right? Because say you tune in and you didn't know that we were doing a scene, and it's just like, "What the fuck are you doing?" It's just like two people arguing.
Honest with you, I know this sounds really a little bit weird and cliche and old school, but I actually wanted to do something where on the podcast show. Because, hey, listen, guys, I also do a live show. It's on YouTube. I'll promote it later on because this is on my channel anyways tonight. No, I actually want to do like a radio drama type thing, but kind of like with the comedy spin and like leave cliffhangers every episode so that you can kind of continue on through the podcast or
That'd
something
be sick.
Like that.
Yeah, I'm down to sit down maybe.
So I know we're this is some behind the scenes stuff you're listening to here as we're planning business moves. We should probably be talking about this right now. Is there anything specific that you'd like to talk about tonight? I mean, now we've gotten to know each other a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about how, you know, maybe a little bit about your start in radio and your feelings as to why you love it so much, man. Like, what's, you have an awesome setup here in the studio. What's the draw for you? I got some, I got a lot of people I talk to on Facebook who are, I call them the passionate few. So what's your passion for this? How are you part of the passionate few?
Oh, well, I mean, I grew up listening to talk radio. I really love talk radio. I guess talk radio was kind of my friend when I didn't really have any. Back when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager. Now I'm fine. I'm cool now.
I'm popular shit now.
I know. Not to brag or anything.
I have 200 friends on Facebook.
Like, no, don't, that sounds stupid. That sounds like a really low, no, that sounds bad because that's a low number compared to what I see out there. People with like 1,000, 2,000 friends. But I only add people that I know personally and talk to on a regular basis.
I wonder that too. Like, how many of those people do you actually know? You know what I mean? Like, when you have like 1,000 friends or 2,000 friends, yeah. How do you keep up with all of them?
I don't think you do. I think that it's more of a, it's kind of like a popularity game, and whoever can post the more interesting topics. I mean, I don't think people who have that many friends are really close to anybody online. That's not how I would be. Yeah. So I make a point to post on my Facebook like once a day, and it has to be something funny or interesting or informative, because there's no point in posting, because I know there's people out there who post about their dinner and post about this and post about that, and I don't want
to
hear that shit.
I swear to God, one girl, I swear to God, nice girl, cool girl, you know what I mean? I swear to God, today she posted a picture that said, I can't even shit alone. And it's her on the toilet with the cat. The second I saw that post, that was it. I you know.
You deleted or unfollowed or just like I unsubscribed for a little while and come back to
it? I actually just deactivated it.
That's a better idea.
I liked it, yeah.
Flag it.
I actually poked her.
Nice. Well, you know what? Let me just take a little quick break because I want to reflect on that question about, so why do I like radio?
Why do you love it, man?
Why do I love it?
Why does it excite the snappers out of you?
Why does it excite the shit out of me? I don't know. We're going to come back and answer that question next, okay? So stick with us. It's the Chris Ventura Show test show live on a Tuesday night.
T-Dub Booney, what's up?
Stick with us. We'll be right back. It's Chris Ventura Show. We're back on our test show for Tuesday night. I'm here with Omar Alatar. Is that the right way to say your name? I believe it is.
In France, yes.
Okay. How do you say it in American?
Alatar. Elater. It really, you know, it depends how bad you want to botch it up.
I think when I kept looking at it before I asked you how to pronounce it, I was calling it Alatar or something like that. I don't know.
Alatar, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it rhymes with janitor. Janitor Alatar. You know what I'm saying?
Well. So, yeah, how is that job interview next week? Janitor job?
Yeah. Janitor. Oh, by the way, in Arabic, it's Al-Attar for the 14 people who are.
Well, you should say it the way it should be said then.
I just don't want anybody to choke. Arabic's a little difficult. Okay. But I do want to bring up that I had a certain somebody who is probably smirking now, hoping I don't say their name. Don't worry, I won't rent you out. Who's asking, what is the purpose of the show?
The purpose of the show, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It's like asking the purpose of life. We'll just make something up.
Well, I guess the purpose of the show really is to entertain people and have discussions with friends. Keep this kind of like a regular guy's kind of place to hang out and talk about things. Regular people just having a good time or whatever. It's just I don't have a mission statement.
Yeah, it's too hard a question.
That's a tough question.
My best explanation is like to hang out with people that you don't have to that you don't actually have to drive to. That's really the best way I can.
Because strangely and scarily enough, he actually lives down the street from me. And when I found that out, I was just trying to look in for a realtor right away.
Jack Whitlock might be able to help you out there. By the way, Marla, I love you. You're the best second mom ever. So thanks for listening in.
Oh, that's nice.
You're awesome. She's amazing, man.
That's
amazing.
Good. I'm glad people are listening.
That's a first.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, first for this show. No, smartass.
I'm just kidding.
So let's see. Before we closed out, we were asking me why I like doing what I do. I'm just going to give you the simple and short answer because I don't want to bore everybody. I just like doing this because I like to entertain people. I like to get to know people. I like to find people who have a story to tell and are just dying to be creative and just have a creative outlet for everybody and just have a good time.
Yeah.
Because life's too short to be too serious. And
amen.
Honestly, you know what? I mean, this show could be about politics or some serious news, but at the end of the day, really, does it? I mean, don't you just want to just relax a little bit? I mean, I think we all have a lot of stuff on our minds. So.
Plus, it is about midnight on a Tuesday, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. So
I don't know how intellectually stimulated our audience is looking to get tonight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually think that the audience tonight on a Tuesday night, I've never been on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I used to do Wednesday nights, and that was interesting. But Tuesday nights, God, I don't think they're drinking. I don't think they are.
I know one who might be having a glass of wine. You know what I'm talking about.
That's what I mean. I mean, they might be drinking, but they're drinking like wine. They're not like slamming tequila shots. Or
they're sophisticated. We're still kids. We still got mistakes to make. You know.
Yeah.
I got a question. What age do you think that you get old at? Like, at what point is it like, I hit this number. That's it. I'm over the hill.
I'm
just rolling down the hill.
Now. I mean, it's supposed to be. Okay, there's what do you got? There's two ages that are really major as far as people are concerned, how their brain works. So 25 is when you hit the age of reason, and you don't do stupid things anymore.
25?
25 is when your brain is supposedly fully developed to the point where you get those things in there where you actually won't be an idiot so much. I mean, I was a fucking idiot when I was in my early 20s, and I'll admit that.
Yeah.
When I hit my late 20s, I changed. And you know what's interesting? A lot of my friends, I have a lot of younger girlfriends who are like in their mid-20s. No, don't do that. They might be, they're in their mid-20s, and I've watched as they've gotten older that their thought processes and the way they feel about relationships have changed significantly, and I'm like, I remember when I was your age.
Yeah, women's opinions on relationships.
That's not, okay, go on. I'll stop you if you say something wrong.
Oh, no, don't worry. I'm going to omit my actual views, but yes, maybe satellite radio would be more appropriate to articulate my views on women's emotional thoughts.
Or perhaps so after you've interviewed 100 people and you've booked guests and you have, you know, all these shows on record and the money's coming in, then you can say certain things. But until then, let's play a little nice and let's not be a little bit too out there.
We'll give all the lovely people I have ever met the benefit of the doubt. You guys have been wonderful in your own special.
Well, don't lie.
conniving way.
There you go.
It's really one extreme or the other, though, man. I got a few stories for that, but anywho.
I'd like to hear them sometime.
Oh, God. Maybe. Let's do it right now. Screw it. Ask me questions, and we'll try to narrowly tailor it.
All right. Well, is there anybody listening who is going to get all pissed off tonight?
Yes. Oh. There is one person in particular. There might be two other dangling.
Okay. Well, let me just say this to them, and they're probably going to hate me and never watch my show again. But let me just say, if you don't like Omar, why are you listening? Is it because you have this obsession with him or something? You want to knock it off? You know, what the heck? I'm serious. I mean, that's just... Oh, God. Oh, no, go ahead. Keep listening because I know you are. Now, all the viewers are going down now.
Yeah, somebody just deleted me off Facebook. Oh, there goes two. There goes three. Stop it. Shit. Looks like only my second mom is watching. My actual mom's not even there anymore.
Hmm. Ouch. Wow. That's something I want to talk about off the air. I'm just saying if you don't like him, why are you listening? But okay, let's talk about some of your relationships then.
Shit.
Well, if we don't, we can abort this topic and move on to something else.
Let's at least ask like one question. You know what I mean? And then we'll go around the room. I'm sure you guys got some stories as well. Okay. I know my boy, Mr. Guest to my right here, Mr. Silent, has quite the story.
Oh, he's tagged too, so people will be watching the stream for him. So just be mindful of that. I want to be protective of you guys. You know. I guess that's why I'm a little bit uptight when I do the live shows with you know, like, I'm looking losers. Out. Not losers. I'm looking out for you guys, that's all. I just want to be careful. And
so losers.
Have you say? Just, I don't want you to say things that's going to bite you later, that's all. Now, go ahead. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Go ahead, what?
You had a question or you wanted to throw out a certain topic about relationships and go around the room on this?
Yeah. So somebody's got to ask the question and then we go around the room. So I guess I'll start with it. Chris, worst date experience you've ever had?
It's pretty... hold on. There we go. That
you're willing to share.
That I'm willing to share. That's pretty general. I guess the one I've had is this when people show up and they're instantly like obsessed with you. And you don't expect certain things, and they bring you a mixtape and flowers, and I'm like, wow, that's nice of you, but I don't know you very well. That's immediately a big turnoff. I think it's because I like the chase. So if somebody comes on too strong, that's not going to work for me. So that's probably the awkwardest for me.
Yeah.
I probably had awkwarder. I know, and I know that he's focused on his computer right now.
No. I'm just talking to the fans.
Outreach. Oh, the fans. Hey, the fans. Hey, fans, I want to see these texts too, so send them out to me. I'm going to give you a second. Go get yourself a pencil or paper or type this into your phone right now and save this number forever. In fact, I don't care what you do. Just text 626-387-3773. That's 626-387. Wow, I almost forgot. God, see, I'm getting old. I forgot the number. 626-387-3773. Just send us a text with that if you have any thoughts. Or if you want to ask any of us a question about relationships, because people love to talk about that shit. So that'd be great.
We can see your attitude about it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm pretty much over it. That's why I have an attitude about it.
Yeah, I hear you there, brother.
I can only go talking so long, Omar. What else?
So your worst date experience is
somebody comes on way too strong.
Way too strong. Then
calls.
Shit, man. You know, when you say that, I feel bad because I was actually that guy, I think. Of course, you never want to admit it, but I think it was that guy. So the question now goes to the one and only Mr. Matthew.
How you just passed that right over. Just
passed
to him.
The baton.
Yeah, it's you weren't even done. I had follow-ups for you, but you just... Fine, we'll move on.
He's ignoring the question. It's all right. Worst dating experience, actually. I haven't dated a lot, actually. I've been in a relationship for 13 months. Things have been good, but worst dating... I really don't have any. I mean, probably stupid things that I've done would be, you know, over-obsessing, buying flowers.
there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, there's something very wrong with buying flowers, man.
Well, why?
See, here's the thing, dude, and I have to say this to the, 14 people that are actually listening. It sucks, dude, but when you're, when you do what Ryan Gosling does in the movies, it doesn't work like it does for Ryan Gosling in real life. You get what I'm saying? I don't know, dude. I can't tell you how many times I've seen the nice guy do the right thing, be sweet, do this. And then the girl's like, oh, but I like this other guy, but he cheated on me. But oh my God.
Again, that's the whole overbearing thing. I think that women also like a little bit of a mystery and chase. And if you put it all out there in the beginning, that's sometimes a big turnoff for some of them. They just will say later on to their friends, and I don't like that kind of thing. They actually want to work a little bit for it, and I think that's good. So sometimes I hate to say it, and I hate that cliche term, but nice guys finish last. And I don't know if that's precisely true or not, but sometimes it is.
I think it's good though. It's people nice guys finishing last is a good thing, because you know there are a lot of nice guys out there who are going after the wrong woman, and there's other women who are looking at these nice guys and wondering, hey, why is this guy going after this dumb girl?
Okay, this is a reverse of girls who go out with bad guys. Other girls saying, other guys saying, why are they going out with a bad, bad guy? And that's interesting. I never thought about the reverse of that.
I think
guys should be protected, because sometimes they get into bad relationships and get taken advantage of. Wow.
I think, in a way.
No, I'm not that enlightened. I just, sorry, just go on.
I just had a beer, so. No, but I think that's true, man. Sometimes I always say it's better to be yourself, even if you're insecure, overbearing, or whatever it is. You're better off being yourself and having it not work out than trying to play a role until they like you and then being yourself. You know what I mean? You'll never be happy unless you're just relaxed, comfortable, and genuine. And if relaxed, comfortable, and genuine has a little bit of insecurity in there, and you know, so be it. I'm sure they have it too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that builds a social...
what up, Pam Shway?
Social penetration from the very beginning of your relationship.
I'm sorry, you said penetration.
I know you're going to say something when I said that, but it's a psychological term. But anyways,
social penetration theory.
Yeah.
I got you. Damn, so, intellectuals here. No. Abe, what up, dude? You're the man.
We need to have some classical music on standby next time.
Some Beethoven. Yeah. Yeah. Oma Kelsum, maybe.
But yeah, that's true. I mean, and you can never be happy. I mean, I can't be happy with my friends unless I'm myself from the very beginning. And
true.
You and I had a little discussion before we got involved in this test show about disclosure and who I am and all kind of stuff, just because it's just, you know, better that way. But, you know, I'm moving on.
Moving on. But still on the relationship thing. Matt, you got anything else you want to contribute about the lovely opposing gender? Sarcasm. Hashtag sarcasm.
Well, Omar, I have a deep respect for women. I've only dating
get him out
one.
Of here. Get him out of here. What is he? I'm just kidding. Don't kill me.
I'm a one man, one girl kind of relationship guy. What? You know, I mean, I'm not gonna be dating left and right. If I find the girl, I'm sticking with it no matter what. Jesus, you know, whatever God. Things fall in our way, it's about getting over that hurdle. no, she's not listening right now. Oh, she's okay. Probably asleep right now.
Security, okay. Security. No, I respect that. I, dude, Chris, what are your thoughts? Forget my thoughts, man.
He's just passing. I think I don't know. We have to have a discussion after the show about this. What are my thoughts? Okay, let's see. About the opposite sex, right? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, about, you know, being like a one woman man versus dating. I've just experienced so much, like, I sound emo now. I've just experienced so much of it going sour so quickly, and particularly when you're younger, because you're sort of living out a fantasy as if you're in a much more mature place, when in reality you're not. Mm-hmm. And that causes, like, a disconnect, and, you know, I don't know. I guess just experience thus far hasn't got me that mature.
All right, what's your age again? Can we say that?
That's
that
a good okay? song, but I'm 17 years old.
No, you're not. When how old are you?
I am 22.
Yes, yeah, so you're young. So
I'm a little kid.
Yeah, you're a little kid. So
how about you, Crisby?
Gosh, my birthday was on Sunday. I just turned 30.
I just turned 33.
Damn! Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
No.
Happy birthday to you.
No.
Happy birthday, dear Chris V. Thank God you're 33.
Oh, it rhymed. Very good. You can do that on your audition on Wednesday. Maybe they'll let you in.
Yeah. Maybe they won't kick me out as fast. Get this guy out of here.
That's why I am just over it. Like, I really, I've had relationships. I've dated. I've tried things. It didn't work out so well. And I'm just kind of like building up my life again right now. So I I'm not looking for anything in particular, and I'm also not willing to put up with anything or settle for less. So I'm just not that I haven't found people out there who I'd like to date, but now is not the time right now. Really, it isn't.
I actually have a buddy of mine who I respect a lot. His name's Abe. And what up, Abe? Don't worry, no one's listening, so you're not going to be incriminated here. Damn, people are just sending me opinions. But he says, I don't think you need to date to experience different, you know, BS with people, because when you have a lot of just friendships with the opposite gender, you learn the different ways they handle it. So I think that's a really mature point, you know, that you don't necessarily have to date them in order to see that, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times through friendships, you can, you know, just through stories or their things you can pick up on.
Sure, you know. Sometimes you actually just watch them go through other relationships and you're like, I don't know if I can handle that, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're just better off friends.
You know? There could be an add-on to that title.
Omar, can I try a little experiment to see if this really does work?
Long as you don't touch me.
Like,
intellectually.
Not that kind
as
of
As long work. As I can keep my... Never mind.
Okay, I'm going to pander to the audience real quick. If you're listening to this right now and you like what you hear, please go to, like us on Facebook. That's Chris Ventura. Let's see, it's the Chris Ventura Show. God, I'm going to forget everything right now. Now I'm all nervous. Because I'm talking to people who have never listened to this before. Anyways.
They love you, Chris.
Sure they do.
Hey now.
Facebook.com/The Chris Ventura Show or go to ChrisVentura.com. But if you go to Facebook.com facebook.com/The Chris Ventura Show and like us right now, that would be great. And I know what the number is starting at, so if we can get over 100 tonight, that'd be nice. So let's do that, huh? Thanks. Do it for Omar, if anything. And if you like us on our Facebook, when we're going to do our next live event, you'll know exactly when we're going to start. And it won't be a big surprise. It'll be kind of scheduled. All right, that's it. I'm done promoting. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Take over your show.
We got to pay the bills. You know what I mean? We all got families to feed.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Hey, I got a cool quote. The friend zone is the classroom. The friend zone is the class. That's a good way to look at it, because the last time I heard somebody say they were in the friend zone, a lot of curse words followed that statement.
Well, okay. Do you think you can ever escape the friend zone? Is that something everybody has always talked about and wondered? Can you get out of it once you're there?
Oh, dude, that's a great question. I'd love to hear any of the girls listening. Send your thoughts. I'll read them out loud.
But do you think you can?
Get out of the friend zone? Mm-hmm. Yes, but like
you're trying to wear them down. You're gonna break them down after a few years. Eventually, all right, I'll go out with you.
I think it's possible, but it's there has to be something profound take place. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it sounds weird, and a lot of girls might be like, "Oh no, it's BS," but this is not BS. Sometimes, like, you might not like a guy, but then he dates somebody else, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, shit, you know, he's pretty cool, actually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
He's a little more cooler now that he's dating somebody else. Or you know, suddenly he gets, like, an awesome job, or, you know what I mean, like, starts getting in shape.
Okay. You got the three things there. Okay, yeah. So you said getting in shape, which is good. That's good. That shows that you care about yourself and you want to be your appearance and be healthy. That's good.
I think women like a guy in momentum. That's the best way I can put it. I think momentum.
Who have drive and confidence is
who give off the impression of momentum, that like they're going somewhere and like, oh, you happen to be joining me, not that you are the person I'm going to.
Okay,
you get what I'm saying?
I got it. That's actually I can visualize this in my head now. Okay, that's good. So, you're on your journey and they join you and they hop aboard and you go along with them, and that's nice. I like that. It's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, Matt, your thoughts.
Thank you for passing the baton over to my direction on the couch.
You're beautiful.
You did just invite me over here, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But thank you. Thank you, Omar. Right. Thank you, Omar Eltar.
I think that's how we're going to get all of our guests when Omar is co-hosting, is when he just drags people in here, and then all of a sudden we're on the radio.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I mean, I don't know where to go from that. I really think that you are generalizing a lot of women.
I love this guy. I swear, because we needed somebody in the room like that, you know what I mean, in this beautiful office.
I agree with him a little bit, so go on.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I do feel like...
I agree with
him. We're putting a bunch of, like, women on the same, like, level, and that they all are looking for, like, a guy who's motivated, a guy who's this, a guy who's that.
You're so right.
But I really think it's all about first impressions, you know? You know, you can be a complete, like, goofball in front of a girl, but, you know, maybe that girl specifically finds it cute. And, like, for another girl who's probably, like, I don't know, like, been... who's maybe not into guys like that, then it's a bit different, you know? It's all circumstantial. That's all that I'm saying. It's all circumstantial. Mm-hmm. You could be a really cool guy and then go talk to some girl across the bar wherever you guys go pick up girls. I mean, I don't...
Oh, my God. That's disgusting. Oh, you're disgusting. Come on.
I don't know. Just be genuine. Be a modest, humble kind of guy. That's it.
So I think the bottom line is be real, because, I mean, you say be modest, be humble, you know, like, what does that mean? How do I apply that? You know, like, put yourself in the position of the guy driving in the car to go pick up the girl. How do you apply that? You know what I mean? Like, theoretically, it sounds great, but as a real practical person who just had a crappy day, maybe has a crappy job, you know, like, how do you put that into play?
Time machine, go back 20 or 30 years before people just started getting so fake with each other and start genuinely walking up to people and being like, hey, I think you're attractive, I think that you're cute, you know, instead of putting on this facade of like, hey, you know, I'm a big shot, mm-hmm. look at me, like, I'm really cool and whatnot, and you know, it's like ego, it's arrogance, you know, and I think that there needs to just be a lot of steps down, you know, be an actual gentleman. Don't be like an arrogant pig. And I mean, I'm sure that that's so cliche to say nowadays, but it's like, you really have to be genuine about a man, like what it means to be a man, you know?
God damn, I love this guy. Preach. Preach, baby. Preach. He's like, women are going to fall in love with you. Don't be surprised if you get a lot of friend requests, man.
Right.
Yeah. It is I, Senor Casanova.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was good. That was a good run through of that.
We actually had a girl.
Is anybody else say anything about that?
Yes, no? Bro. Yes. My freaking messages are like filling up.
Yeah. Let's hear some of those messages. Okay. So they know that we're paying attention to them.
We love you, folks. So of course, my boy Abe, you know what I'm saying? This guy's my brother. So he said, here. God, I'm sorry. I keep saying your name. I'm sure you want to remain anonymous, brother. I'm so sorry.
Just first names only, if anything. Oh, yeah, you do okay. First and last names and addresses, that's a problem.
Yeah. Social Security. All right. The friend zone is the classroom. It's a state of mind. It's not a zone. Be the person you want to be. If they don't want you, someone else will. They want someone who's after something or confidence. They want an adventure. If there is rapport, the person with more confidence will always influence the other. It's cool, dog. And then... and then another friend by the initials TD. Uh-oh. I know you're smirking listening. Uh-oh. I'm going for you. She said, interesting how you guys are sitting there and speculating about what girls think. Interesting how three guys are sitting there speculating about what girls think.
You know, okay. In defense of us guys, because we don't know. We really don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes we ask straight up, what are you thinking? And we don't get told the truth. I mean, there's a lot of times where... I hear it later on or through friends of friends, like what she was thinking about me or something like that. And it's like, really? But I completely got the opposite idea. And I'm, you know, that's why we're sitting here speculating.
Did you ever hear about that book, by the way? There's this book out. Jerry Seinfeld. So I went to a stand-up show in Santa Barbara. And Jerry Seinfeld said a friend of his has a book that that his friend wrote, I guess. And it says, what I've learned about women in my life. Book's about 200 pages. It's completely blank inside. And it's like a coffee table piece, sells for like $20. But.
Well, I know everybody's always saying you don't understand women, but I think, I'm sure there's women out there who don't understand guys. You know, think about that. I never hear that, but I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of just girls don't understand guys. And I'm pretty sure that the women sit around and speculate as to what the guys are thinking, too.
Yeah, but women, I've been around a lot of women who will say, like, oh, what do you think's going on here? What do you think's happening here? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you think this guy's trying to do? And women are so, they think that men have it all thought out, you know, as if, like, oh, why is he not texting me? Is he doing it because he wants me to feel this so that I could do that? In reality, we're, you know, they're just, like, smoking a joint somewhere. You know what I mean? It's not that, like, intellectual. Like, he probably likes you, just, you know, just sort of relax a little bit. But guys do it, too, you know? Like, we all...
Now you understand why I don't date anymore?
Yeah,
this is so complicated.
I know. It's like a full-time job, man.
Yeah, and yeah. So, right now.
Which is good, since we're unemployed losers, you know what I mean?
That's not true. Not speak for yourself.
I'm just kidding. Okay. Hey, now.
I know you're not, so that's fine.
What do you guys think, folks? Oh, by the way, I got a question from Pam Shui, and this is for Matt and my boy Chris.
All right.
So the question, and everybody else listening, like, y'all are listening. I appreciate the support, by the way. You guys are friggin' awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I also saw that a couple of you did listen to me and liked the page. I appreciate that. So good for you guys. All right.
Pam Shui, this is for you, because I know you're sitting there in your room, maybe working on some AP homework, listening. So thank you. She says, coach, answer this question. How do you keep a positive and hopeful outlook on achieving success in your life, even when the times are down?
Do you want me to answer that first?
Yeah, I want everybody, you know, everybody will take a stab at it.
I'm assuming they might be going through a little something.
That's a good assumption. Again, the question to people who are just tuning in and listening, how do you keep a positive and hopeful outlook on achieving success, even when the times in your life are down?
Well, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. I'm not going to get into details, but I think for me, sense of humor, the realization that nothing happens like right away. So if there's dire consequences heading your way, they're not going to just instantly happen unless you, you know, get hit by a train or something, God forbid. But when times are down, I mean, it's only a temporary thing. And as long as you're proactive to battle, you know, what's coming down the line, then you should be okay. I think the help of friends and support like that is really important, because I swear to you, if it wasn't for a lot of my friends, I probably would have hung myself about 10 years ago. Wow, how sad is that? God, I'm sorry to get so deep on a test show, but anyways, whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, Chris, I mean, I was having this conversation with one of my friends before, and like the biggest thing for, you know, people who are like down and depressed, that kind of thing, is the support of friends. It's because there's a lot of people who will tell you like, oh, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. But it's like, if that person's hearing it, you know, they don't want to hear that it's okay. They want you to sort of share the ride with them. Because a lot of people in that circumstance, when they're like depressed or alone, they feel alone. They feel like no one else is there with them. But it's about sharing that pain with them that'll help them carry themselves forward. Instead of saying it's going to be okay, you just shut up and listen. And that's the easiest thing to do, is just shut up and listen. And that's for any kind of circumstance that there is. You know, if I did a piece about this guy, he worked at a suicide hotline. And the main message on the board just said, shut up and listen. And like, that's all that you have to do, is just, you really just have to sit down and just share the story with them, share the road with them.
I've learned that that's the best route to take with people too. People sometimes, they just, goodness sakes, you know, they don't know who they can turn to. So just to get it off their chest, that's all they really want. And you can make a big difference to somebody if you just do that for them. I know I've gone through stages where I've shut people out, which is probably the wrong thing to do. But once I do let people in on what's going on, or what's you know, I start to feel better. So that's another thing. If you're going through a tough situation, don't keep it bottled up. If you can, if you know you have people that you can talk to about certain things, and go for it and do it. And honestly, that's another good way to test out who your real friends are. You know, the ones who stick around during the tough times. So that's kind of a benefit of that too.
I heard a gnarly quote once, and of course, anybody who knows me knows that personal development is my sort of religion. For all the people who are actually part of my religion, don't freak out. but it's tough times don't last, but tough people do. The one thing
I've heard that's a good saying.
Yeah, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And the reoccurring thing is that when you're going through it, you know, people say like, when you're going through hell, just keep going. It's faith, literally faith. And I don't mean faith in, you know, the God sense. I mean, for some people it might be, but a belief in yourself, a belief in your idea, a belief in what you're working on, a belief that, you know, the unseen. You know, they say like, faith is believing in the seen and vision is believing in the unseen. And the unseen is always more powerful than the tangible, because the tangible is always disposable.
Can you get up and start doing spoken word now? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I don't mean to get philosophical about it, but I really, you know, my mind digs for this stuff. Like, this is my obsession. I went through a suicidal period for a while. And thanks to a lot of talks to Bobby. Bobby, by the way, you're the man. Bobby Chakrabarty. I hope I didn't butcher your last name, but God, I love you, dude. And also, shout out to Zaid Soba. What's up, dude? I see ya.
I'm getting really real tonight. Everybody tried to kill themselves at one point.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
it's okay, though. It's all right.
But, yeah. Anyways, like, I went through a really, like super tough time, and, like, I couldn't relate to people. I don't know. It just kind of sucked, you know? And and I found that, like, you just got to do things you believe in. You got to climb into, like, just, what do I like? Like, don't be afraid of what people think. Like, literally just find what you like. Keep working on it, because that'll make you excited. You'll get up in the morning and you'll feel like you have something special to be a part of, and that gets you through the sort of guck of life. And problems happen to everybody. Everybody. Even to prophets. So, you know, whether you believe in it or not, problems happen to everybody. The difference is how we handle those things.
Yeah, I think what also gets me through is like, it can always be worse, you know, and you think about what you're going through and then you compare it to what other people could be going through, and it could always be worse. And that kind of gets me through it too. I know that's kind of a downer, but yeah, you know, it could always be worse. Nothing bad can ever last forever. And it's really how you deal with it and your whole attitude and your approach to the initial problem, panic or just acceptance. And acceptance is a real good coping strategy, I think.
And in the moment, I find it really important to realize that in the moment, you know, a lot of times, like, there's a bunch of great advice, right? But when you're dealing with, like, shitty times or a rough time, it's kind of like, well, fuck, what do I do right now? You know, I can't sleep, I can't eat. I need to hear something that'll click now. Not, like, intellectually makes sense, but something that'll emotionally hit me. And the one thing that it's always been for me is that the innate realization that life happens for me, not to me. That what's happening to you, that there is a million reasons why this sucks, but I swear to God, there's always one, two, or three reasons that I can use this. You know, so always ask yourself, how can I use this? What, you know, how can I use this? I'll give you an example. And I might sound insane to some people, but sometimes when I get tickets, I literally, instead of being like, oh shit, I got a ticket, I'll literally be like, oh yes, perfect. Like a little motivation to make more money.
Huh.
I know it sounds strange, but, and then off of that, I'll do a side job. I'll, you know, I don't know, like I'll start reaching for auditions. I'll start, I don't know, trying little gigs here and there, or doing speaking events for kids. And not because I'm not like it's just for the money, but I mean, it sounds strange, but it's actually a motive, you know? Like, you can stretch your mind beyond, oh shit, this sucks. And when you discover that it's pretty unlimited how you define it, you know, that nothing in life has any meaning except the meaning you give it, it's a different quality of life.
That's good. I was thinking about the whole motivating thing. I have a friend who he's gone through some really tough times himself, and he's always pretty upbeat. It's not like he's manic or something. He's just upbeat, and he always faces problems head on and sees those problems as just ways to develop his character better and change things. So that's good. And I always try to turn my anger or frustrations into something productive.
Look at you.
I like to, turn that anger and frustration into like a side business or a hobby or something, a project that I can...
Sex trafficking?
Be
oh my God.
Too sensitive? It's too sensitive.
Oh my God.
Something that I can do on the side to, I don't know, just keep my mind busy and working and focus on myself. And then when I'm done with certain projects, I'm like, wow, I did that, and that's good. And instead of focusing or dwelling on something that I can't change, now I have something that I didn't have before. And so that's nice. Now, we're going to wrap this up in about 5 minutes. So if you have any last minute questions, I know you're upset about that, but we will do, you know what? I'm going to tell you what, the test show went really well. So we will do this again, and we'll do it again. And we're going to keep doing it until we can actually start bringing in some guests or something. But I think that, I'm just going to say this right now. Omar had pitched an idea to do a weekly show. And I'm willing to give that a shot.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to commit to 4 episodes, and that's it. And we'll see how it goes.
Let's sign this contract now. You got a pen?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. No, don't get too excited. We'll see. Okay. No, so
get a pencil.
We're going to do some stuff through June, and then we're going to see how it works out. Because I got some, we'll talk off there. I got some major things I got to deal with before the end of June. So that may hinder everything in the studio. But we'll see how that goes. But...
I got to give a shout out to a few people real quick.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, do that.
I got a little list here.
Oh, here's your list. All right,
okay. Shout out to Niall Hafiz. Niall, like the river, dude, you're the man, sharp as nails, you're solid. And he told me, dude, a sick quote that I don't think I would get tattoos, but if I did get tattoos, it would be this: a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. A smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. You're the man. No. Next up, my boy Alex Harris. You know what I'm saying? Good memories. Doing things that ruin memories. But you're the man, Harris. Keep staying on the grind. Paige, what up? Sammy, Ruan, Brian, Ariel, Trista, Yanali, Annaville, Ariana, Tamara, Nabil, Kelly, Colin, Erica, Pamela, and of course, the one and only Abe.
You know, I know some of those people, and that creeps me out. So that's weird. Yeah,
trouble in paradise.
Yeah. Well, I have no shout-outs for anybody because I just don't. I really enjoyed doing this tonight, Omar. And thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. And Marla, by the way, like, I got you.
Yeah, I know he's dealing with that.
Yeah.
and thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Chris.
And would you ever come back again? You're never going to hang out with this guy again.
No.
Yeah, actually, I would come back. Yeah, this is a great experience, and thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, no problem. You were a surprise. You were a surprise.
I was surprised.
Yeah. And I expected just Omar, and then I, you know, but that's great. That's good. And I would like to try that whole acting thing out sometime.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay, one more thing.
Okay, one more question.
One more question. This is
Alex,
the last question.
Alex, you are my dude, by the way. I just got your message. All right, last question, again from Pam Shui. So this is a little deep. She said, okay, I also have another question, lol. So my bro got this long ass message from his ex best friend, and all the listeners listening in right now, fucking message me. I will read it. I will share it. You know what I mean? But let's try to do it ASAP. Here's the question. Okay, so my bro got his long ass message from his ex best friend, telling him that he's thought about suicide and how he's going to be an orphan soon. He comes from a single dad household and was always depressed as a kid. He basically messaged my brother telling him that the reason he bullies other people at school is that people laugh at him, and basically my brother abandoned him. FYI, from what I know, my brother and my family have taken him in multiple times and treated him well when his family hasn't. But now my bro and him had a falling out and we had to cut him out of our lives, and he randomly just messaged my brother looking for help. Don't know whether to take this seriously or not. Don't want to have to go to the counselor, but I'm concerned that this kid is going to either hurt himself or just wants attention from my bro, or might hurt others.
Always take it seriously.
Yeah. What should we do? This kid is 12, by the way.
Oh, always take it seriously.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Brian, what's up, dude?
Yeah,
I love you, brother.
I think that's something to be really be taken seriously. I would suggest that there would be some kind of a intervention between maybe a professional psychologist or something at that point. At 12, that's not something that I think we should have a professional opinion on at all. So but, I don't think I want to do that one. But, I mean, we can touch a little bit on it.
We got to scratch the surface. You know, there's a 12-year-old kid out there in need, Chris. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know that. That's a real rough one, though. I haven't experienced anything like that.
It is. I feel like we need some women to weigh in on this. Women seem to make the better emotional decisions. Matt, please don't attack me. I know you have a little bit different views. But yeah, for me, one time we had a friend of this is going to sound so weird, but a friend of my sister's, who's a guy, was actually going through like a super rough time, and like we took him in, and this dude, like, he skated, so to me he was like my brother. You know, anybody who rides a skateboard till the day I die will be like instantly will be butts. And so me and this dude click, and dude comes to the house, and like we're cool the first night, stays for about like 2 weeks. First night we're cool, second night we're cool, third night we're cool. Like 4 or 5 days in, like this, I find out this guy smokes weed. At the time I was making unfortunate decisions, so he was even closer a brother to me. But then I started finding out this dude had yayo, and then he was like suicidal, and then he had a warrant for his arrest. So all these little things came out, and although his story was crazy in that, you know, he didn't have a pops, and like he was in and out of jail, didn't have any money, and you know what I mean? Like his mom sort of neglected him too.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, when you put it in the context of how it, like, can I don't know. It's different when you hear their sob story, and then when you live with the person, you know, you have this dichotomy of like, what should I do, but what I'm comfortable with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but at the end of the day, my dad had to, like, you know, ask him to leave.
Right.
And we were more than hospitable, you know, with food, with finances, a place to stay. A week later, dude ends up getting arrested, and mm-hmm. then, like, calls us and, like, is crying and, like, begging to come back. And it's like, shit, you know, like, what do you do, you know?
Well, at any point did you blame yourself for that? Because I wouldn't. I mean, there's some people that you just can't help, and they're going to be down this path. And it's kind of sad that you have to be Mr. Tough Love or Mr. Push You Away, but like yeah. sometimes you have to, because if you take people in and you coddle them all the time, they're not going to learn from their mistakes, and they're just going to get into that. They might actually have to reach rock bottom themselves before they can get back up from that, and then they'll realize it.
Yeah. She says, too, that my fam is facing the pressure, quote-unquote pressure right now. Don't want to make the wrong move. Perhaps bringing a professional in would be more dangerous immediately. Should we speak to his father first? His father might be unaware. Damn, dude, she's really valuing her opinion right here.
Yeah, I think this is probably something that you should follow up off the air and not make it a spectacle for everybody listening.
No, people are liking it, dude. By the way, Nat Cat, what's going on? You need to get to sleep, though. You got some kids to educate tomorrow.
Are you doing like non sequiturs? What are you saying? Are you reading out loud to somebody?
To miscellaneous acquaintances.
Okay.
That's the best way to put it. Abe weighed in and he said, my advice would be to focus on yourself, but help people along the way. Keyword is along the way. Don't make a pit stop and don't let them hold you back from where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, he's ruthless. You should consider working on Wall Street.
I don't think that's ruthless. I think that's just kind of realistic. You can.
The kid's 12, though. That's the thing, you know. Shit.
Yeah, I know. But
he's not mine.
Well, no, it's not that. No, yeah. I mean, there's there's ways to handle that from like a legal perspective or like a custody thing, or somebody you know can get involved that's closer to the kid and solve that issue. Putting it on a family and somebody else, that's tough. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility for somebody but the parents don't really know, or
yeah, the parents don't know, because she said my fam is facing the pressure, don't want to make the wrong move, perhaps bringing in a professional would be best. I personally would like talk to the kids, see if there's anything going on with that kid's parents. I would talk to the kid. If I was like the dad, I would talk to the kid, like take him out to McDonald's or whatever, and just like, and then try to gauge it that way, you know, get a sense for what this kid needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I still had no clue, get professional help or hire a, I don't know, an elementary teacher from California Elementary. I don't know. Just,
but I do like the idea of talking to the kid, because yeah. I think a lot of times that they just need somebody to talk to. And if you talk to a child like an adult, or just like, you know, and you know, you don't talk down to a kid. You never do that anyways. But just let them understand what's going on, because they're going to be completely honest with you, because kids that age are going to be completely honest with you. So it's not like you're going to have to really dig. So just be the open ears, like you were saying earlier, you know?
When you say don't talk down at kids, I wish my parents knew that, because my parents are Middle Eastern,
mm-hmm.
so all they know is talking down.
Well, yeah, I had this old study about that, where the child rearing is a lot different over there. And raising children is a lot different over there.
Oh, they said rearing. I was a little concerned.
And what's it called? See, now you made me lose my train of thought. You're like, God. I'm trying to be pro here, and you're distracting me. Hold on a second. What am I trying to say? The attachment between parents and kids is different over there as it is in the U.S., where mostly there's a secure attachment, and mm-hmm. in the Middle Eastern cultures, there's an avoidant attachment, where there's an anxious and an avoidant, where anxious is saying that... oh man, it's too late to be talking about this stuff after being up since 6 in the morning. I'll look at, hold on. Jeez, I'm losing my train of thought here. If anybody knows what I'm saying, please chime in.
Just be practical about it. Like, what are your practical thoughts? Forget the philosophy.
Oh, no, I mean, it's just what you're saying is that kids in those cultures have to kind of do it on their own, because they don't expect to have a nourishing response from their parents.
Yes.
And so
yes.
That's just how they are.
Dude,
and
my parents used to beat the shit out of me with a steak, dude.
That's not good.
I know, but it builds character, as my dad says.
Sure. I mean
that's how they sell it, dude.
You're 11 years younger than I am, and I know that back in the 80s there was some, you know, a little bit of hitting and stuff going on, but that's just the way it was back then. I didn't know it was carrying up to
What nationality are you, dude? I never asked you.
A big mix, but mostly Mexican and Mexican American, because I don't speak Spanish.
How about you, man?
And Native American.
So Mexican, Native American?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you part of an Indian tribe?
And I should know what it is, but I'm too stupid to have asked my grandmother before she died about all that history. She knew all that stuff.
Grandmas always know that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they talk about when they're knitting, you know what I mean? You
know what I mean? She has some great stories. I really should. Hey, that's another thing I want to tell you all out there. You never know what you got until it's gone, so please don't take life for granted, and please...
Amen.
Please care for other people. All right, that's it. Go.
Look at you making peace. Matt, your thoughts?
Wow. I guess, what topic were we on? We kind of flip-flopped. We went from, you know, talking about depression to talking about ethnicities.
We're talking about women cheating on men.
That's not what we were talking about.
We're not talking about that anymore.
Damn it, you were paying attention.
Was that Paige you were talking about, Paige, who was sending the questions?
Pam.
Pam, okay. To answer Pam's question
Pam
again.
Pam Shui, if she's still awake, not doing AP homework.
So, APU homework? Did she go to APU, or is it just AP?
Oh, AP.
Oh, no, AP.
AP homework.
Advanced AP homework. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
got it, got it.
That's
got
where
it.
The smart kids actually paid attention.
Well, there's this story. It's a true story. It's a story on the Moth. It's about this guy, like I said, he works at a suicide hotline, and they're given 4 questions, to ask people who, you know, call in, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So the four questions are, and this is to, you know, evaluate their like level of suicide, that kind of thing. So the first question is, do you feel so sad that you think about suicide? You know, question number two is, have you, or do you know as to how you would do it? Number three is, have you set a time on when you would do it? And question number four is, have you taken any steps today to kill yourself? So the guy, he said out of like 99.9% of the answers on this hotline are yes, no, no, no. Yeah. Because a lot of people, they think about it, but they don't actually go through and do it. So I guess for me is just kind of think about those four questions and just kind of like evaluate the situation from there. I mean, it is a very tough thing, depression and everything, because it is a very sensitive issue. And I'm completely like talking about any of those types of issues. Like I'm completely comfortable with it. So please, if you want to send in your questions, that kind of thing. But definitely always take it seriously. And just know if, you know, they're thinking about, that thought, like in that moment about doing something, like taking action, that is like the worst thing, but just keep up to date with them. Always stay their friends, stay in constant contact with them. If that means staying up at 3 a.m, then do it. I mean, if you truly love this person, and I think that we should all love people and care about them in the exact same way, you know, we should all be willing to stay up, you know, past our bedtimes in order to hear someone's story.
Wow. Sure.
Dude, you are so goddamn mature. Shit, man. Like,
well, yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, I'm sorry I agree with him, but,
that's cool, mature.
My phone is always open to people in need. So, I mean, you can call me whenever you want and I will stay up and counsel you. You know, it's,
I'm sorry, cancel you?
Counsel you. That's
counsel you.
The kind of person that I am, because, I'd want somebody to be there for me like that.
All right. Next topic.
We're going to take a quick break.
After the break.
Yeah, after the break. We're going to stay for another 12:25 is it. We got to go at 12:25.
We got to go, folks. We're trying to wrap it up here.
But the thing is, we will do this again. So see if you have any other questions. We'll hold them till next time, and then we'll also ask you again to tune in to us, and hopefully we have some things to talk about. It's got a little bit deeper than I expected.
Ouch.
Stick with us. It's the Chris Ventura Show. It's also like the poor man's knockoff version of Loveline tonight.
So, we'll get back to the relationship talk too, folks. Hang in there.
Just hang in there, okay? We'll be back in just a second, all right?
Ciao.
Go to sleep in the lion's den. That glow, that spark, that crown. You're looking at the king of the jungle. bitches smile. Straight game face, it's game day. See me running through the crowd full of melee. No trick plays, I'm Bill Gates. Take a genius to understand me. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah.
We're back. It's the Chris Ventura Show. It's a live test show. I'm here with Omar, and thanks for everybody listening tonight.
Hello, hello.
Oh, this has turned into a really good relationship talk show. yeah. We've been noticing...
Women just gave us a lot of material, I think.
We have people who are discussing this and messaging Omar on his Facebook because he posted it on his and I did not on mine, which is my mistake. But if you would like to, please go to facebook.com/The Chris Ventura Show, and you will see a link at the very top is a post. And if you have any comments about the topics or you want to share with each other what you guys have advice for each other, please put it there, because everybody, I guess, is messaging him to tell the other people this and that. It'd be great if you all had a discussion and you guys could get to know each other better on the Facebook, which would probably be a lot better. If you want to remain anonymous, we can talk about it here too.
Yeah, so we can do that.
Do you have anything that should be said that you've been reading during the break?
Just messages from random people, but I'm like, I have like literally 16 conversations. So if I'm like talking to you in like half sentences and stuff, it's because I'm balancing what I'm about to say with what I'm typing and with someone else's question. So bear with me, folks. I got another question about relationships. It's kind of long, but it's basically, when do you think it's time to call it quits or stop dating? I know you, Chris, you mentioned something earlier about the woman or who fell in love with you like super fast.
Oh yeah, right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's get back to that topic.
Okay.
Was that the worst date though? Oh, sorry. Let's get off topic here. Was no, that the worst date? There's a actually, story in
no,
there.
There's, no, I wish I had more better story to share with you. I think the narcissist people, the people who are narcissists about themselves and have to sit there and talk to you over dinner about what they do and nonstop and just don't shut up. You know?
Dude, or the people... Okay, like, so for a while I was in a little, you know, binge dating, whatever. I'm guilty of being 22, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and I went out with this particular individual.
Okay.
And
they're probably listening.
No, okay. I don't. Of course not. Of course they're not. And dude, it was pretty gnarly, dude. Like, Okay, so we went out on the first day. It was cool. Second day, it was gnarly. And then she starts, like, expecting... I like to enjoy myself. I like to go to, like, you know, dope spots that I like, or, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, I'm not a lazy dater. You know what I'm saying? Like, uh-huh. I like to make it kind of fun.
Sure.
Sure.
No, I mean, that's good. Then, that's what you should do.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Now I kind of like being lazy. But anyways, take her out. And then she starts, like, expecting it. Like, oh, what are we going to do next week? Oh, what are we going to do next week? And then, I swear, dude, she said...
Because you set her up for expectations. Is that it?
I don't know, dude. She got used to being awesome, I guess. You know?
Oh, God. Jeez.
Right. No, it's not even... It's not even...
Okay.
It's not even that, dude. Honestly, like... And she'd be like... Where are we going next week? I'd tell her and she'd be like, oh, that's it. I swear to God, she said, that's it.
Well.
You know, I don't know, dude. There's a lot
of... maybe you should start small and work your way up to McDonald's, impressiveness. You know, no,
like
no.
McDonald's,
no.
Burger King, Subway.
No, I'm just saying. Well, yeah, Subway would be last in that chain, I guess.
Eat fresh, you know. Date fresh, eat fresh.
That sounds kind of bad, that actually. That
sounds bad.
Yeah. Try to keep it PG-13 a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I know.
No, but yeah. Don't okay, fall. Don't blow your wad all at once. Okay, you know.
Whoa! We're on radio here, Chris. What's
I know you. I mean, you looked at me when I said PG-13, so I just wanted to. It's after midnight. Safe harbor.
Yeah, anybody who's listening right now is about to blow their wad anyway. Whoa! I did not just say that.
Oh boy.
Oh, well, hey now.
Well, you're probably right.
Guys and gals, we're corrupt. This is America, baby. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Matt, what are your thoughts on the matter? Bad date experiences. I know you're an expert in respect and love women, as we all should, and all the women will now love you and hate us for, but the worst date experience.
You already gave me this question before.
Yes, and you didn't come out honest, so sorry.
Because I didn't have a bad dating relationship. Like, I've enjoyed every relationship that I've been on. It's been a learning experience. I've had bad experiences with other things,
like women.
You were talking about. Well, this was before we hit the whole women thing. We were talking about
the good times.
Your auditions, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Because like when you were talking about your auditions, like I was giving myself a smirk because I was like, yeah, there's this one audition thing that I kind of went to that I think might fit into what we were talking about.
Is it embarrassing or like?
No, it's really embarrassing. Actually.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. It's phenomenally embarrassing.
All right.
Sure. So I'm at my old work. I work in the snack bar, and I'm doing orders. I'm at the front desk, and this guy comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, I really like your flesh-colored beard." I'm like,
"Whoa, I got a few labels to throw out there."
I'm like,
"What up, Sterling?"
I'm like, "Thank you." And he's like, "Yeah, no, I'm a professional photographer. I've done stuff for." Like Sears and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, oh, well, let me give you my card. You know, maybe we can do a photo shoot or something together. I'm like, okay. And this is like when I was 17, I was ignorant at the time. I had like nothing else going for me. And I was just like, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll just go to this little photo shoot, whatever. I show up to the photo shoot and basically he's like, okay, well, we're going to need you to take off your shirt now. I take off my shirt, just pasty white skin, just nothing's been really worked out or anything. the whole time my dad's there because, you know, yeah. I didn't want to take, like, I don't want to go by myself. I was 17 at the time. I didn't know what was going to happen.
How old are you now?
I'm 22.
God, you're such a beautiful young man.
Well, thank you, Omar.
Look at
thank
you
very much. Well, I guess that was the most embarrassing part.
You can feel the love in here.
It was just so awkward for me just because my dad was there and like my shirt was off and he's like, and then he made me crawl in a tree and was like, give me these faces.
And your dad was watching?
No, my dad went for a walk. Okay.
In the police report, they're gonna be like, where was your dad?
Lord,
where was
your
dad?
You
when, where was your dad on the security? He went for a walk. Yeah.
And he would say like crude things to me and I'd be like, well, why did you say it? He's like, oh, well, I just want you to make a certain face so I can take a picture of it.
Oh my God. Did he say purr for me?
Trees, my shirt's off. He's saying weird things at me. And
you kind of liked it, huh?
That was the most awkward, I think, like
experience ever. Yeah.
Audition slash like I
was
model
actually,
thingy.
It's funny. I was actually on a date like that.
Really?
You know, hearing that story was the most awesome moment of my life. Actually, I'm so sorry for you. Are you okay?
That was the most embarrassing moment I think in my life.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough. Okay, well, I guess you win tonight.
Yeah, and weirdest that's story of the week. So, wait, did this guy ever have you purr by any chance? Did he just, like, purr at me, like, purr at the camera?
No, it was more like, oh, God, I don't remember because I think I've blocked that part out of my mind for the past 5 years.
I could imagine so. Wow. We can arrange for some pro counseling if you need it. I mean,
thank you.
All right, okay.
Hey, what's it called? My boy Alex Harris. Great point, my man.
What does he say?
He said, we got a few questions from four people, but Alex sent it first. He wants us to talk about double standards, sex, and cheating. How girls take sex more seriously. Oh, my God. We're going to have a lot of haters if we talk about that. Let's just talk about double standards and cheating.
Okay.
Let's get controversial, folks.
All right. Let's think about that for a minute. We're going to take a quick break. Okay. We're going to be back in a minute and a half. Okay. So stick with us. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Okay. Stick with us. Again, it's Chris and Thoreau Show. It's Test Show. I guess it's actually going to... I don't know what we're going to do tonight.
We love
getting
you guys.
Controversial.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you for listening. We'll be back in just a second. Hey, 90 now. Seconds. Yes, we know it's been longer than 90 seconds. We'll be back. We're just discussing something real quick.
Hey folks, we're back. a little more than 90 seconds, but what do you expect? We're a bunch of 20, 30-something-year-old kids.
No, we were actually sitting here discussing something important.
Don't tell them.
I'm not going to tell them yet, but I was just saying we were being pros here, so we're just trying to talk about something important that's important to you, too. Trust me.
Yeah, yeah. And we're actually glad you guys came back. I'm sure you guys are pretty busy doing, you know, what people do on Tuesday nights at midnight. And no, it's not blowing a load. So, Chris, take it easy. Jesus Christ, somebody get this guy a Kleenex. Alex Harris, back to your question on double standards, sex, and cheating. Hopefully anybody who...
I love being called out on my own show. It's so much fun.
Yes.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
So if you're like sensitive or, you know, you're not, you're like, you know, like, oh my God, that's rude. That's disrespectful. You should definitely go to sleep now. hope you have a good night and, make sure you don't blow your load everywhere.
I like how you're kicking the audience out if you're overly sensitive.
I love them, but you know, I gotta, you know, we got
after 12:30, it gets them. Really, really blue and dark in here.
Yeah.
So
no pun intended.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the question was, double standard sex and cheating. And I said, oh no, we're going to go there. And Marla commented and wrote, she commented and wrote, oh no, please don't go there. You know what I always say, men and women are not made to be together forever. Let's see what your husband thinks about that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I love you. I'm so sorry. I love you.
Wow. We can't edit that out either. All
right. No, that's it.
You need to put a delay built into this thing. I think we'll do that for the next show.
Yeah. Just don't invite me. Same thing. Hey, now. So, Matt, your thoughts. Double standards, sex, and cheating.
Oops. You're on.
Go. Oh. Well... Double standards, it happens. I don't know. Sex, avoid it. And cheating.
We'll have Pastor John on tomorrow.
Cheating is always stay faithful to whoever it is. And if you feel like breaking up with someone, at least tell them before you break up with them instead of cheating on them. Because then that's cheating. Instead of like saying, hey, like I... lost these feelings for you. I'm sorry. Like, I've found interest in someone else. Go through that route. Cheating is unacceptable.
I agree with you, but I think that's so hard, man. Let me ask you this. I know I've been in this situation.
Hard? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's that hard.
What?
I want to hear what you have
you
to
don't
say.
Think, well, what
I'd love to hear what
cheating
you say,
is that is hard not to cheat? Is that what you're saying?
Whoa.
I'm calling you out. Are you serious? Is that what
damn
you're
it. Saying? This guy was about to fall asleep all of a sudden.
Don't go to bed yet, audience.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Why, okay.
Let us blow my own load.
All right. Because you were saying that it's uh-huh. Okay, so tell me, why is it easy to cheat or not? Or tell me, what the hell's your opinion? Spit it out.
What the fuck are you talking about, Omar? Jesus Christ.
I know, you got me so upset all of a sudden.
No, man, I'm like incriminated now. You put me into a little pickle. I don't know, dude. Like, yeah, I think it's sometimes it's hard to like... tell somebody that you're over them, you know what I mean? Particularly when you have all this stuff invested, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cheating itself is, depending on your moral character or lack thereof, you know, mm-hmm. will be easy or hard. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the opportunities can certainly be there.
But I think you said not to cheat is difficult. Is that what you said? It's hard not to cheat.
In order to protect my future social life, I will have to say no. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, I will admit that in high school I did it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
After
you hit 25, you won't do it anymore. Nah, you still will.
No, dude. Honestly, I would never do that. I would never put anybody through that, and I would never want anybody to put me through that. To my knowledge, I've never been cheated on, but I'm sure to everybody's knowledge, I've never been cheated on.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's only when you find out that it.
For
it's
me,
like,
yeah.
Go on. I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind. It's so late. I've been up for hours and hours and hours.
Look, as a wise person once told me, cheating just doesn't make sense. I'm just kidding. That was for one person in the world to speak at.
They already went to bed. You already sent him to bed.
Not this particular individual.
Oh, okay.
She's grading papers.
Got it.
Marla says, sometimes you cheat to find out if the relationship you are in is right for you. Now, that is a load of interesting information.
Well, I mean, that could be called playing the field to see if it's really, if the person you're dating is really the one for you.
Yeah, but don't. Okay, I guess it depends where you define dating. You know, if you're like going out dating, I personally, and any person that I was going out with, I would say 99% of them, I told them that I was serial dating. You know, that I'm like dating multiple people, and you know, you can do the same thing, and you know, because I'd rather.
How'd that work out for you?
To be honest, quite nicely.
Yeah.
I had some people who, you know, who weren't cool with it, but I respect you. We'll be friends, whatever, you know, like I'm into intellectual conversations anyway. So it's a win-win, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, if they weren't into it, that's fine. But more importantly, like I'd rather be honest and be like an asshole for being honest about, you know, serial dating than mm-hmm. like, oh no, it's just you, babe. Yeah. Yeah. No, of course it's just you. Mm-hmm. And then my phone go off and then hide this. And I, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. like,
no, I know I said dude, that to like, you sarcastically, but I think yeah. I do say that that's good that you're not lying to the person. So you're actually being honest from the very beginning that this is what's going on. You know, that's good. But then, honestly, do you really, then can you really focus on one person if you are serial dating? Because all your,
yeah.
is everywhere. Your mind
well,
is
keep
everywhere.
Keep in mind when you're serial dating, there's certain things that you do or don't do.
Okay.
And that depends on the type of thing, but I think it's important to be super honest. Like, I don't think there's such thing as over communicating. You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay.
And I think, although a lot of women will be like, no, hell no. Like, I only want to date you or like, you know, try it out one on one. A good majority will respect a guy a lot more, even though initially might shock him, will respect him a lot more if they're just like straight up like, yeah, I'm dating multiple people. And, you know, if, you know, I'm willing to sort of let whoever sticks out stick out to me, you mm-hmm. know,
right?
And yeah, it is quite strange or unorthodox, but look on the flip side, I mean, you got a divorce rate that's almost like 60%, and you know, I'm sure a lot of those are legitimate, but on the same token, like sometimes doing the right thing, playing it safe and bullshitting the other person inevitably is going to be bullshit to the relationship later on, you know.
Maybe sometimes people are just meant to be single forever and play the field.
I mean, it depends what you're, it depends what you're after, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. your values or your vision, and a lot of times your age or your occupation, or you're just, you know, sometimes good people try to seek out attention in, you know, in funky ways, you know. I'm sure mm-hmm. we're all guilty of that.
Now, the definition of cheating can is different when you think about different genders. Yeah. But I think this could go for anybody. It doesn't really matter what your gender is. Some people cheat physically and some people cheat emotionally. And
that's too
what's worse, do you think?
Look, I think you'll always think. I mean, you could always see somebody and be like, oh, they're hot. But honestly, dude, I don't think it's too far-fetched to like be totally enamored with a particular individual and want it to be, you know, intimate and amazing. And I know some people who are younger are listening, but you know, whatever, I'm gonna shoot it straight from the hip. Like, I think that regardless of the relationship you're in, I think that it's possible to be in a relationship with one person where sexually, intimately, you know, intellectually, just in every way, it gets better and better and better and better and better and better. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. That being said, I think, you know, it takes a lot to work on it, but sometimes we go for the cheap thrill and date real quick, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference. It takes maturity to say, yeah, I want to make this work. It takes maturity to put it on the line. And I think sometimes the fact that we don't think the other person is mature enough back is what causes us to let go a lot easier.
Well
too,
said.
Too deep.
And with that, we'll be, no, I don't know. Let's take another. Let's just because we do have to do some off the air chit chat between the two of us for a second, and we're gonna take 45 seconds. I swear to God, it's gonna be 45.
I swear to Pastor Joe here on my right.
45 seconds. Back in just a second. All right, stick with us.
Thanks, folks.
All right, we're back. We just had a little side conversation about things. All right. So, We are planning to do this show again.
They auditioned me tonight. Chris, for the people who turned in a little late, why don't you tell them what tonight was for me and my good buddy Matt here?
Well, what was supposed to happen was supposed to be 45 minutes of just like a test show. Yeah. And we just started to start talking about relationships. Everybody loves to talk about relationships, and I love to talk about relationships.
Or bitch
and
about
because
them.
It's always very, yeah, because it's like free therapy right now for a lot of people, including myself, whether I want to admit it or not.
You do.
Yeah, that's why I want to do the show again, because I want more of this.
Oh,
so we are going to do the show again, but this turned into really a fun community-based poor man's love line, and I enjoy that because we all need to talk about relationships, and you know, hey,
I'm a poor man, and I'll talk about it.
Yeah, and so here we are. So we're thinking about doing this show again. What, Saturday?
Friday night or Saturday night, folks. And we're gonna do. It'll be me and Chris, I guess, like co-hosting it. What are we like?
Yeah.
Co-piling it.
And we're going to be taking your messages online through text. And we actually can get you on the phone if you'd like to talk with us.
Nah, they don't have the guts.
They don't have the guts?
I don't know, dude.
Does anybody out there have the guts to talk to us? I'd like to see that.
Hey, now.
I'm throwing it out there as a challenge. But we can get you on the phone real quick.
We're going to do a show maybe Friday or Saturday nights.
Yeah.
For this week, we're going to do Friday night, 9 to 12. So, you know, if you had plans to go out with your friends, then definitely cancel and leave 9 to 12 open.
Or what they can do, they can listen to our stream, plug it into their car, listen to it while they're driving to wherever they're going to be.
Chris, the show's from 9 to 12. What are these people driving to Yosemite listening to us?
People go out to clubs. I mean, I go out to Hollywood.
Three hours away.
Well, they gotta find parking. They gotta pick up their friends, drive, all that kind of. It takes time. What, an hour and a half from here? So at least they can listen to half the show.
Yeah,
and we'll save all the good stuff for 11:30 to like round one or something when they're not listening. So they miss out.
I got a few messages from fans writing in saying they'll call in because they have a lot to say.
Okay.
And yeah, Alex Harris, you're welcome. Noor, we got one question from Noor, and this will be the last question of
for
the evening.
For tonight, yes.
For tonight. And then you guys can tune in Friday, 9 to 12. We'll be getting gnarly. And anything that was boring this time, even though you're insane for thinking we're boring, will definitely not
they
be
have
boring.
No taste.
You have no taste. You have no sophistication.
Yeah.
So the question is, if you have some feelings towards your best friend, but you don't want to jeopardize the friendship.
Struck a chord already.
What do you do? So again, the question is, if you have some feelings towards your best friend, but you don't want to jeopardize the friendship, what do you do? Send in your answers and we'll read them out and we'll discuss it. And one more time, if you have some feelings towards your best friend, but you don't want to jeopardize the friendship, what the fuck do you do?
Well, first of all, I want to know if this best friend is dating somebody, because already if the best friend is dating somebody, it's off the table and you should respect that.
She totally loves me. She's indirectly talking about me. It's obvious. I'm just kidding. Nora,
yeah,
I love you. You know, we're just friends. You're awesome. I'm totally kidding.
Nora, is that who it is?
Nora, yes.
Can you
she's
give
an
a
awesome
little bit,
singer
a little bit more information if,
on Nora?
No, I just want to know if you have feelings for the best friend, if the best friend is dating somebody or not, if this is a real life situation. I'm just curious.
Is this a real life situation? I'm live reading your answer right now. So I love you too. She said, if you have some feelings towards your best friend, but you don't want to jeopardize it, you don't want to jeopardize the friendship, what do you do? So she's writing her answer to me. She said, nope, he isn't.
So they're single. Well, that's interesting, because I really honestly believe that you can go from friendship into romance if you do it the right way.
I think that's the only way to do it, dude.
You think that's
I 100 and
you know what, we're gonna get scientific on the next show, and I'm gonna have you take a little test to see what kind of personality you are as far as relationships are concerned. And I know exactly what your classification should be because of what you just said.
I'm so scared. I'm gonna go take a piss. I'm scared.
No, it's very interesting.
Yeah,
because I am kind of like that, but I'm kind of like a mix, and we'll explain that more on Friday night.
So basically, if you want to hear anything good, you got to listen Friday, folks.
That's right.
Sounds like it's the only plug.
We have a challenge, too, to you. Like the page. If you hit 100 likes, we will be here at 9 o'clock. If we don't get 100 likes, we might cancel. But we probably will be here. Now, I shouldn't say that, huh?
Or
should I challenge him to that?
I don't know, but it sounds like some man versus self conflict going on in the corner of the room there, Chris.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's play a quick little game before we sign out.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, but to answer her question,
yeah, let's
honestly,
sorry.
I think that...
Folks, what do you think? Send in your answers. If you have a best friend, you have feelings toward, but you don't want to jeopardize the friendship, what do you do?
I mean, the only way I can see it being jeopardized is if it's not reciprocated. Like you throw yourself out there and they tell you, no, I don't see it that way. And then you'd be really crushed.
Yeah. I think my best advice is sort of test out the waters a little bit. Because if you like somebody, even if you're friends with them, it's going to linger. So you're better off, you know, communicating that. And if some people, believe it or not, are mature enough to be like, no, it's not like that. And, you know, there's been relationships where girls approached me and said, like, you know, like, oh, like, you know, like, I'm into you more than just friends. And I'll be straight up like, oh, it's only friends. And vice versa. I believe it. I'm sure it's happened to me as well. Some people are mature enough to be like, no, I'm not into you, but we can be friends. And mm-hmm. some people get like disgusted by it and put off by it. Mm-hmm. So if they're a real friend, they'll stick around. And if they're not, then, you know, you'll never regret being honest, you know?
Okay. I can agree with that. I like that answer.
You like that?
I do.
You like that?
No. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Oh my God. I just blew my load.
It's past 12:30. I'm sorry that you're sitting here listening to this.
Sorry, folks.
Wow. No, I like that answer a lot. And I have had that happen a couple of times where I actually did start to have feelings for somebody who was a very close friend of mine. And the first one was a disaster.
What happened?
It wasn't reciprocated, and it was just heartbreaking to me.
What happened?
I don't want to get into that.
Chris, anymore. real quick, please, for the fans.
No, just somebody from high school, and I let them know my feelings, and it was just not a good experience.
Well, like you told them or wrote something, or how did it?
No, I told them to their face. I don't play like I'll write you or text you or send you a message. No. I like to discuss things one-on-one with people when I think they're important.
Yeah.
And it just got really awkward, and you know, we're better off friends. But we've been friends for a very long time, and it worked out okay. So it didn't ruin the friendship. It ended the friendship for a couple years, though. And in that time...
matured a little bit?
Yeah, you matured a little bit. There was some self-reflection going on. Yeah. Come back together, you discuss it. You know, oh, weren't we just crazy back then? But it stayed at the level of friendship, though. Yeah. And it was enriched by the negative experience, I think. So I don't think you can ever completely destroy a friendship. Yeah. But you can lead it down some real rough waters, if you will.
Yeah, I think it's a reoccurring theme in life. Most of the time, it's when you're unsure of what to do. You know what you want to do. You're just scared of the consequence of doing it.
You're afraid of failure. Some people are afraid to hear the answer no.
Yeah, but in life, guys, I'm going to get all, you know, like motivational speaker on you. I mean, I'm just as guilty, and we're all in the same
boat. He's a motivational speaker. He's an actor, and I'm like a poor man's really bad psychologist. Oh, boy, what a show this is.
But you got some beautiful listeners, and I'm not a motivational speaker. It's not what I do. I'm a personal development advisor to kids. bullshit.
To kids.
No, I swear to God, because here's the thing, dude. Motivation, break down the word. Motive for action. Literally, that's what motivation translates to. Motive for action. I can't give kids a motive for action. All I can help them do is uncover something that's inside of them. You know what I mean? Like, I think most people walk around the world with like all these ideas, these like, oh, that'd be sick, or that'd be cool if I did this or that, or oh, I'd like to ask her out. And in life, you'll never know if you don't try, you know? And you will fail. Like, you will fail more times than anything. But the sooner you become numb to it and you kind of don't give a shit because you're never going to try again and again and again, and it becomes a habit, you... Dude, you have another day today and tomorrow and the next, you know, so.
Well, going back to the question that we had earlier, it's just the whole trying to understand the opposite sex. I think that, like
impossible.
You said, it's impossible.
Yeah, women are crazy. Why are you guys so crazy?
And it's just not women, though. It's men, too. Let's not be, you know, sexist around here, okay? But honestly.
Yeah, it's two fair men here.
I know, we're too fair to
but it's good. It's good contrast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys have
I like
souls.
how you're sitting in the middle so we can argue and like start yelling at you together.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Fun.
I'm being chastised. Yeah. Anybody support me, man?
Shit. No, what I was going to say, though, is going back to not understanding is that, you do have to try sometimes. And no guts, no glory. And sometimes...
You got to lay it on the line.
You won't do it. And then you hear later on that you should have done it. And so you missed your opportunity. And you know what? Sometimes people will just hold it against you forever, I think.
And in life, by the way, on your deathbed, you'll regret what you didn't try, not what you didn't succeed at. You'll regret what you didn't try. Not
that
what you
goes for everything.
Yes.
And that's a nice way to end the show tonight.
Hey now, folks.
So we will be back I don't care. We'll be back on Friday night, 9 to midnight.
9 to 12. Oh, one more thing on that last note. To Nor, you're awesome. She says, aw, Chris, thanks. Great advice.
Oh, thank you.
Don't be surprised if you get a friend request.
That's fine. Okay.
Matt, I'm sure you and your lovely advice.
Matt, you were great. That was really, you were really good. Let's give a round of applause, Chris. Like, that's very good, Matt. Very good.
Such a gentleman, really man. Good. I need to shut my mouth and let this guy do all the talking. Nor's question about Alex Harris, you're the man, by the way. Nor's question about, you know, having a friend and, you know, should you tell them or not. A buddy of mine wrote in and he said, I told my best friend and I was nervous as fuck, but it would have killed me if I didn't tell them. And I'm glad I did. And get this. Now we're happily engaged.
Oh, well, there you go. That answers that you should just go and try it. Because you never know. Yeah, you want to miss that opportunity.
You got to go in there, folks. Shout out Mavericks.
All right. So here's how it's going to work. So we have the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/The Chris Ventura Show. Like us on there. Follow us on there. And you'll be able to find out exactly when we're going to go on the air. Check out Omar's Facebook as well. And he'll be, I'm sure, promoting it. Because I'm pretty sure he will be.
He's crazy like that. Yeah, he's a son of a bitch. He's a son of a bitch, I swear to God.
Yeah, that guy. So he'll be back. And then maybe if you can tolerate it, Matt, you might want to come back.
Yes.
Right. We'll get some pizza or something. Yeah, we'll hang out. It'll be nice.
Shout out to Abe, Alex, Noor, Natalie, Bilal, Arjun, Alexandra, Gary, Annabelle, Pamela, Clara, Brian, Delaney, Christian, Zaid. You guys are awesome. Tune in Friday, 9 to 12. Live strong, live with passion, baby.
All right, it's Chris Ventura Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back again Friday night. Again, facebook.com/The Chris Ventura Show or chrisventura.com, and you'll find out when we're going to be on again. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We love you, baby. Mwah.